We've reached this point in the Torah in which Joseph is to be called out of prison where he's been falsely contained and soon to become the viceroy, the second in charge of all of Egypt. And to explain that, there's no better place we can go than to the West Wing. Do you remember that one episode of the West Wing when President Bartlet and others of his staff are trying to figure out how much a gallon of milk costs? And none of them have a bloody clue because they just live a very different sort of life. And finally, they speak to President Bartlet's assistant, Charlie. And Charlie is an African-American guy trying to live the American dream and really raise up, but he comes from poverty, and he answers the question by not only saying how much a gallon of milk is, but by saying how much it is in different stores in different parts of town, highlighting also that in the food deserts where the poorest members of our society live, milk often costs more. So what does that have to do with Joseph? A lot, it turns out, because our great commentator, the Vilna Gaon, wrote in the 1700s, and the Vilna Gaon was a once-in-500-year mind, remarkable, remarkable intellect. And he's talking about dreams, and he says that it's impossible for us to understand a dream that doesn't touch us, that isn't connected to our life. Bartlet could have no idea about a gallon of milk because he was too far removed. And the Pharaoh, when he has a dream of these seven fat cows and the seven thick pieces of wheat, he's the wealthiest person on the planet at that point. And scarcity and abundance don't touch him at all. He's beyond it. He's living the most incredible life. And so that dream can have no meaning to him whatsoever. But Joseph can understand, because Joseph and his family have dealt with famine after famine. In fact, it's what will bring the brothers back together later in this parsha. And it got me thinking, because if we can't really understand a dream except in the way it touches us, maybe there's a different understanding of Joseph that's of use. Because the normal notion we have of Joseph is that he starts out this callow youth who's lording it over his brothers with this dream of them bowing down to him, whether it's in the form of stars and constellations bowing down to the sun. And he seems, in one sense, inappropriate. That's a version many of us have heard. But, you know, it never says that in the Torah. And Joseph never interprets his own dreams, because if it's true that his brothers will one day bow down to him, as we begin to see happening in this week's reading, it doesn't touch him at the moment he dreams it. Joseph never interprets his own dreams. He only interprets other people's dreams, and he interprets it in a way so that they can hear how it connects to their life, even when they can't see it. That's what the Vilna Gaon says, that it is Joseph's job to explain to Pharaoh that this famine does concern him, and to put it forth in a way so that then Pharaoh can begin to take action. In this quite conveniently, by placing Joseph in charge of the stores. So it's interesting, right? What it means to have a dream, what it means to understand our dreams. There's a famous line by Yeats that with dreams begin responsibility. And Joseph's whole life is his path of trying to take on greater responsibility. And I think all of us in our own lives have dreams that we apply our responsibility and our duties to make them come to fruition. And dreams that just become out there, something you think about like winning the lottery ticket. And what a difference there is between the two. So what do we do with these dreams we have? A little bit later, we're going to hear from our scholar in residence. And one of the names that Joseph gets comes from this Hebrew word, lefaneach, which means to decipher. It's like the scientific quest for truth, that we seek in our dreams signs of reality so we can try to live our lives a little bit better, a little bit more fully. I want to end with a really interesting comment by Sfat Emet, a Hasidic thinker from the end of the last century, who talks about dreams. And he says something, he takes all of this and he combines it in a very interesting way. He talks about if dreams only touch us at these moments when they're pertaining to our life, then our job as people striving to connect with God and holiness is when we have moments when we're connected to holiness, when we feel that sense of transcendence or of awe, that sense that we're connected, that chill down the back, that we have to store it and hold on to it for the lean years that are going to follow. And isn't that beautiful? Because we are in the darkest time of the year when we light the lights of Hanukkah. And every one of us has dark moments in our life. But the notion that we can hold on and be nourished by these moments when holiness touches us, to sustain us to when they don't, to connect our dreams in those ways, I find very, very compelling. Life is hard, and life is glorious, and it doesn't normally happen at the same time. But if we can hold it together, like the glass at a wedding, where we bring a little sadness into the joy, or like the laughter at a Shiva house, then we've taken that holiness and we've lit an unquenchable fire against the darkness. And that's religion, and that's Yahadut, that's Judaism, and that's tikva and hope. And that's what we need. Shabbat Shalom.